So my name is Ben Strauss. I'm a GIS analyst, actually in the same group as Joshua, but we work on slightly different projects. So what I'm going to talk to you about today is a project using GIS to look at the burden of diabetes, specifically in Durham County, North Carolina, which is where Duke University is and where we live and work. And you might notice that even though we're focused on Durham County, these slides are on U of M template. We're a split group between Michigan and Duke. We work collaboratively. And I have no relationships to disclose. So the project I'm going to talk about today is based on a grant from the Bristol-Myers Squibb Foundation and CMS. And this grant is looking to improve outcomes of type 2 diabetes. We're focused on Durham County and then three other southeastern counties, which I'll talk about later. So one of the reasons that BMS approached us for this work is because of our work in GIS and integrating GIS with both public health and with EHR data. And so this is a GIS session, so I'm not going to dwell too much on what GIS is, but the software allows us to both map patient addresses and link patients to their socioeconomic context of where they live, as well as mapping health outcomes. Okay. So the framework for this project is that we have a spatially enabled data architecture. And what I mean by that is that we've spatially referenced EHR systems. So specifically for this project, we've worked with the Duke University Health Center, and we spatially referenced their patient warehouse, the decision support repository is what it's called. And we have mapped, up to this point, we have mapped 6 years of patient data from that warehouse. We then have both the clinical team and a community-based team. So our clinical team consists of doctors and clinicians from Duke University. And our community team consists of identified important community members in Durham County, community advocates, community groups, people that are out there working. And together with them, we've created this partnership where we're working towards getting real-time data decisions. So from the EMR, which I mentioned, the Duke Decision Support Repository, we first pulled all patient records from 2007 to 2011 using Durham County zip code, so any zip code that touched the county. We've since then pulled an additional year of data for 2012, and we're currently processing that year of data. We then geo-referenced all those patient addresses to determine if they actually live within the county or not. Based on zip code alone, since zip codes cross county boundaries, we weren't able to determine county residents. And a lot of people don't actually know what county they live in or what zip code they live in, believe it or not, from their patient-reported addresses. Since we're looking at type 2 diabetes for this project, we restricted to people 18 and above, since type 1 diabetes is more prevalent in children. And then we went to our clinical team and we asked our clinical team, how would you define diabetes in an EHR? And this was a complicated process. We went back and forth several times because we wanted to capture undiagnosed patients in the EHR as well. So this is what we came up with. This is our definition. It's we're currently in the process of validating it with chart review, but we're using this. So if a patient has an ICD-9 diagnosis in the EHR, or if they have a medication prescribed consistent with type 2 diabetes, like insulin or metformin, or an abnormal lab result of some sort, a hemoglobin A1C, or a random or fasting glucose, two or more in a given time period that would indicate a positive diagnosis of diabetes. So this is what we're using to identify our diabetes patient cohort. So let's see. So in Durham County, using our geocoding, we identified 244,000 unique patients over that time period. Of those, about 24,000 around were determined to have a type 2 diabetes diagnosis based on the definition that I just showed. So that 24,000 is about 12% of the adult patient population, which is a significant percentage for diabetes. And we also saw racial disparities. Durham County is about 35% African American. We saw 52% of our diabetes population as African American. We also noticed in our patient population that almost 30% of them had not had a hemoglobin A1C test done in the last 3 years. So standard of care for hemoglobin A1C tests is twice a year. You're supposed to get a test twice a year to test your blood sugar levels if you're diabetic. And so we found from the data that almost 30% of people hadn't had one recorded in the EHR data. And, you know, that might be something like they're getting their test done at another medical center, or the data wasn't properly recorded, but we don't have that data on those patients. So for hemoglobin A1C testing, the cutoff for well-controlled diabetes is 7%. So what the clinicians say is if you're at 7% or lower, you're well-controlled. If you're above 7%, you're getting out of control. And then 9%, you're really getting out of control. So our average hemoglobin A1C lab over this time period was 7.4%. And we found that more than half of our patients had at least one lab above 7% out of control, and 26% of our patients had labs that were consistent with way out of control diabetes results. So we then started to do exploratory mapping to map this data. So this is Durham County, North Carolina. So what I'll say about these maps is that these are exploratory maps and these are percentage maps. So the northern part of the county where you see some dark colors showing up in the north, that's an artifact of very low patient populations in that part of the county. That part of the county is very rural. The part of the county that we're most interested in is central Durham. And central Durham is historically high minority, low socioeconomic status, poor health outcome area. And central Durham does show up as having high or poor outcomes on most of these maps. So the map on the left-hand side shows a percent of Duke patients with diabetes according to our definition. We then also have maps of patients with no hemoglobin A1C labs recorded and with labs out of range. We then looked at the mean A1C result. And again, what we see here is that the central Durham area, right in the middle there of the county, has the highest mean hemoglobin A1C results over the five-year period, consistent with what we know about that part of the county. We use this map to look at A1C results over time. You know, if A1C results were getting better over time, we would see the map lightening. If they were getting worse, we would see the map darkening. I don't think there's a clear lightening or darkening pattern in this map. We can see some areas are getting lighter and some getting darker, but mostly A1C results are consistent over the five-year period. Several of our clinicians were especially interested in looking at amputations. You can see from the numbers on the legends of these maps, the percent of amputations among the Duke patients is very low. But to our clinicians, any amputation at all is a failure of the health system. So the map in blue shows the percent of all patients who had an amputation, and the map in red shows the percentage of patients with diabetes who then had an amputation, and the magnitude is much higher in the diabetes patients. I think this is a pretty interesting map. We looked at how many times patients were going to the emergency department. One of the main goals of this grant is to reduce costs as well. So the map on the left looks at all patients and how many the percentage of patients who use the ED five or more times in a given year. So we chose five. It's kind of an arbitrary cutoff, but that's a lot of times going to the ED in a single year, right? So again, consistent with our central Durham pattern here on the left, we see central Durham had the most use of the ED or the five-year period. And then when we limit the map to just those patients with diabetes and how many of those patients with diabetes use the ED five or more times in a given year, we can see patients with diabetes are using the ED several times more than patients without diabetes, and also the pattern in central Durham persists in the diabetes patients. So we realized that the Duke, we're lucky in Durham County that Duke serves most of the people in the county, but we also have a federally qualified health center, Lincoln Community Health Center in the county, that serves, historically serves minority and uninsured patient populations. And so we went to them to try to get their data as well and fill in the gap in our Duke data for the county. And so we have that data now, and we have done the same kind of thing with the Lincoln Community Health Center data. So from Lincoln, we identified 41,000 unique patients, and almost 60% of the 60% of those patients are without insurance. And Lincoln self-reported numbers for patients without insurance are even higher than that. So they serve, you know, many disadvantaged patients, and we found a very high diabetes rate in their patient population, almost 15%. So the maps are similar. I just wanted to show this map. This is a map of uninsured patients, and you can see there are areas of the county where people that are coming to Lincoln, there's, you know, between 70 and 90% of the patient populations don't have insurance coming to Lincoln. Okay, so what are we doing with all those data? All those maps were kind of exploratory, looking at where in the county things are going on, where we have highest burden of diabetes, where we're having poor outcomes. So we're using that data to create risk algorithms. And so the risk algorithm that we've created is an algorithm that predicts a diabetes patient's chance of having a serious diabetes complication the following year. And so we use this risk algorithm to stratify our patient cohort into high, moderate, and low-risk patients. And each of those groups, high, moderate, and low-risk patients, are receiving a different intensity of intervention. So the high-risk patients are receiving, you know, intense in-home clinical interventions from our clinical team. And so this diagram here shows that not only are we stratifying patients based on interventions, but also the colors of these, so if you envision each of these dots as a patient, each of these patients lives in a different neighborhood, and the color represents the neighborhood that patient lives in. So if we see lots of patients in our high intervention study living in the blue neighborhood, we can identify that neighborhood as an area where we can go into a neighborhood level intervention. There's something going on in that neighborhood that maybe we can create a new grocery store or do some diabetes education in that area to do not only an individual level intervention, but a neighborhood level intervention. So our risk algorithm currently takes into account demographics, diagnoses, medications that patients are on, and then utilization of hospitals. And so, lab results as well. So our current model is based completely on clinical EHR factors. So what we're working on now is incorporating social risk into our risk algorithm as well, because we know that medical risk does not tell the full story, right? A patient can have really poor diabetes outcomes, but if that patient has a really great social support structure, they're probably better off than someone who doesn't have that social support structure. So we're also working on incorporating things like neighborhood deprivation, the amount of resources in the community where the patient lives, health literacy, walkability, et cetera. This is an image from our community assessment project. So in our community assessment project, we had a team, a neighborhood team, that walked every block in central Durham area and assessed housing damage, property damage, walkability, things like that, so that we can get the built environment of the community in which these patients are living and try to incorporate social risk into our diabetes risk modeling as well. So like I said, there's an intervention spectrum for these patients based on our risk algorithm work. So people in the high risk category are getting intensive home care visits, working one-on-one with clinicians. People in the moderate risk group we're still working on exactly what we're going to do for them. We're thinking we're going to do like telephone calls, things like that, to monitor them and see where they are, make sure they're going to the doctor regularly, getting foot exams, things like that. And then people in our low risk group, we don't want to ignore them, but we only have limited, so many resources. So for our low intensity group, we're focusing more on things like neighborhood and community interventions, community events, education, etc. And then I wanted to mention that everything I presented today was based on Durham County, North Carolina, but we're also working in three other southeastern counties. So Cabarrus County, North Carolina, which is just north of Charlotte, North Carolina. Quitman County, Mississippi, which is a historically underserved, high minority area in the Delta of Mississippi. and then Mingo County, West Virginia, which is right on the border of West Virginia and Kentucky, and Appalachian County, with, again, very rural county, very low socioeconomic status. And so we're working with those counties and the health systems in those counties to capture their EHR data so we can do the same kind of analyses, risk modeling, and intervention strategies in those counties. So I'd like to acknowledge CMS and BMS Foundation for making this work possible. And I'll take any questions.